If you would turn your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 3. Hebrews chapter 3. Today we will look at verses 7 and 8. As we continue our sermon series, Jesus is greater than everything. And if you haven't been with us, if you're visiting with us today, here's the short synopsis of Hebrews so far. Jesus is greater than everything. And that's right, that's amen. He's greater than the prophets, he's greater than Moses, he is greater than the law, he is greater than the angels. Jesus is greater than everything. And if you have found your places, please stand with me. I'm going to read this morning Hebrews chapter 3, verses 7 and 8. This is the word of the Lord. Therefore, just as the Holy Spirit says, today, if you hear His voice, do not harden your hearts as when they provoked me, as in the day of trial in the wilderness. Thank you. You may be seated. Did you really get a chance to soak in the words to that last song that we were singing? I don't know if you really did. I actually asked Brian to sing, Pastor Brian, to sing that song today. That is probably one of my favorite contemporary worship songs out there. I've told my wife before, that's a song I could probably hear every Sunday right before I preach, because my prayer and my desire is when we come together is that the Word of God would speak. Not that I would speak, but the Word of God, that the Word of God would come alive and into each and every person's heart. And I love the fact that you hear that. I'm finding myself at a loss for words. And the funny thing is, it's okay. Because I don't have the desire to be heard, I have the desire to hear what you would say. And I think that should be our prayer when we come together, is to hear the Word of God, to hear the truth. And that's important, because God's truth is a weighty thing, isn't it? There's a reason when we come together every week, and I say to you, every Sunday for the last 6 years, I start the same way. My poor kids know it. They even know when to start the recording. I say, if you have your Bibles, what? Open them. Turn to them. Turn to whatever book that we're currently looking at. And there's this gravity when you open your Bible, and there are some passages that really weigh more heavily on us than others. And we come today to what I really would say is a weightier portion of Scripture. Not more important, but just a little more weight to it. Today is one of those texts. There's a seriousness to it. There's a profoundness to it, because it's about hearing God's voice. Somebody could have let me know that I was walking around with a pen in my ear. I just realized that and feel kind of silly now. There's this profoundness to the Word of God. There's this profoundness to hearing God's voice. And what I'd like to do to start is I would like you just to listen. I want you to listen. We put such a great importance, and rightfully so, we put this emphasis on reading the Word of God, and it's important for us to read God's Word. It's important for the letters and the words on the pages of Scripture to pass through our eye gates, and for us to internalize those words and really take them in and meditate upon them. That's important, but it's not enough. Reading is important, but we also need to hear God's Word. We need to take it in. We need to meditate upon it. We need to think it through. I can't even tell you. People ask me when you prepare a sermon, what does it look like? What do you do? And usually, you want to know how my sermons start? I'll usually take the portion of Scripture that I'm preaching through, and I will read it about 100 times. And I don't count. I don't sit there and, you know, one, two. But I read it out loud about 100 times, because I want to hear how it sounds. I want to take in the Word of God. I want you to listen to these words. You can turn to Psalm 29. We're going to look there for just a moment. But I want you to listen to these words that come from Deuteronomy and the Psalms. Deuteronomy 13:4 says this. It says, "You shall follow the Lord your God and fear Him, and you shall keep His commandments. Listen to His voice. Listen to His voice, serve Him, and cling to Him." Now go to Psalm 29, We're going to look at the first 9 verses of that psalm together. Psalm 29, starting in verse 1, says this: Ascribe to the Lord, O sons of the mighty, ascribe to the Lord glory and strength. Ascribe to the Lord the glory due to His name. Worship the Lord in holy array. Now notice how many times we hear the word voice. Verse 3, the voice of the Lord is upon the waters. The God of glory thunders. The Lord is over many waters. The voice of the Lord is powerful. The voice of the Lord is majestic. The voice of the Lord breaks the cedars. Yes, the Lord breaks in pieces the cedars of Lebanon. He makes Lebanon skip like a calf and a saron like a young wild ox. The voice of the Lord hews out the flames of fire. The voice of the Lord shakes the wilderness. The Lord shakes the wilderness of Kadesh. The voice of the Lord makes the deer to calve, and He strips the forest bare. And in His temple, everything says glory. We see that God speaks. And when God speaks, He speaks authoritatively. And when He speaks, He expects us to hear His voice. When God speaks, we must listen to Him. So the question this morning is then, how is it that God speaks? How do you hear the voice of God? How do we do what we just heard in that song? You know, the Word of God speak. How do we hear the voice of God? It's kind of funny. I went to Christian Book Distributors' website this week, and you can type in certain search words and look for books and things of that nature. And I went to CBD's website, and I typed in God's voice. And I hit the search bar, and 1,549 titles came up. Did you hear that? 1,549 titles come up on God's voice and hearing God's voice. 62 pages to scroll through, all about hearing God's voice. But very few of them actually give us the answer that the writer of Hebrews gives us this morning. The writer to the Hebrews is going to show us that indeed God does speak, that He speaks powerfully, that He speaks plainly, that He speaks directly, that He speaks authoritatively, and He speaks personally to us, but He speaks to us in His Word. As we followed the argument last week, we looked at that grand if statement that the writer of Hebrews gives us in Hebrews 3:6. He says, "Whose house we are if we hold fast our confidence and the boast of our hope firm until the end." The writer is concerned that we are a people of persevering faith. The writer is pastorally concerned about the audience that he is preaching this message to. He's concerned about those who are listening to the sermons being read to the congregation, that they actually lay hold of and value and cherish the fullness of what it means to belong to that household of Christ that we talked about last week. And they would so cherish what it means to belong to Jesus' family, how important that is to be a part of those believers. I noticed that last night. Sometimes I just like to sit and observe, and it was great to watch everyone in the barn interact with one another. Not just after the meal, but afterwards. You know, sitting around and speaking, and seeing the way the people of God interacted with one another, and we should cherish that. And I believe that's what the writer of Hebrews wants us to do. And so the writer is explaining to us why we need to hold fast. The first reason he gives is because it demonstrates that we belong to His house and to His family. Now the writer is going to expand upon his argument. He's going to underscore another reason why holding fast is important. And if you remember last week from the text in verse 6, he says that we must hold fast in confidence and boast in our hope firm until the end. And he's going to really underscore this here. And the way he's going to do that is he's going to parallel this to the ancient Israelites. He's going to parallel this to the danger that was faced by Israel as they were lost in the wilderness. And what they were in danger of is they were in danger of not listening to God's voice. They were in danger of hardening their hearts. They were in danger of not being able to inherit that which had been promised to them by God. And what the writer's going to do is, instead of taking us to the book of Exodus or to the book of Numbers, which is where these things are found, he's going to take us to Psalm 95. Psalm 95, and the reason he takes us to Psalm 95 is the way Psalm 95 comes to us. The psalmist in Psalm 95 takes those themes of Exodus, the wilderness wandering, the failure to enter the promised land. He takes those themes which had occurred, you know, over 500 years before, and he applies them afresh to his generation. And the writer to the Hebrews is going to do the very same thing. He's going to take Psalm 95 and he's going to apply it afresh to his congregation and demonstrate to them in the process that they must be careful to make sure that they hear God's voice and not harden their hearts as they did in the provocation in the wilderness. Now look at verse 7. It says, "Therefore, just as the Holy Spirit says, today, if you hear His voice." Now I want you to understand very clearly, everybody, I want you to grasp this from the beginning. The writer does not say, "Therefore, just as the Holy Spirit says, let me give you a word that's come to me." He doesn't say, you know, "I just got this new revelation, what I want to give to you." That's not what the writer says. The writer to the Hebrews does not say, "This is what the Holy Spirit says. I have a prophetic word." That's not what we see that. When he says, "just as the Holy Spirit says," he doesn't offer them some sort of personal anecdote or personal word from God. Instead, he's going to serve them up what? What is the word that he gives them? He gives them what? Scripture. He gives them Psalm 95. It is vitally important that we understand and see, therefore, just as the Holy Spirit says, present tense, he turns around and then he quotes Scripture. He's teaching us very clearly that when Scripture speaks, the Holy Spirit speaks. Did you know that? That when Scripture speaks, the Holy Spirit is speaking. And throughout this book, the writer will almost always quote the Scripture using a present tense verb, identifying the fact that as Scripture speaks, God dynamically is speaking. He is capturing the fact that when he sets the Scripture forward, whether it's Psalm 95, Psalm 110, Psalm 2, you name it, that he is quoting Scripture. Throughout this book of Hebrews, we see time and time again references to Scripture. That through that Scripture, God is now, presently, today, speaking dynamically, directly, personally. The Bible indeed is the voice of God which speaks to us today. 35 times in the book of Hebrews, the writer is going to refer to Scripture as God speaking. 4 times in Hebrews, the writer will refer to the Scripture as the Son speaking. And 5 times in Hebrews, the writer will refer to Scripture as the Holy Spirit speaking. The Old Testament revelation is the Word of God, and that comes to us and continues to speak to us today, doesn't it? You know, there's a great movement in the church in America, especially, to say, well, you know, we're New Testament Christians or we're red letter Christians, and what God said in the Old Testament isn't as important as what is said in the New Testament, and that's flat out blasphemous. The God of the Old Testament is the God of the New Testament. Amen. And it's all telling one story, and that story is of our Savior. That's of Jesus Christ. I wish everybody could have sat through our Sunday school on Wednesday nights to see the many pictures and ways that Jesus Christ has revealed to us in the Old Testament. And when God speaks, even through the Old Testament, right? He speaks to us, and He's speaking to our generation. Just like this writer to the Hebrews, he says, you know what? I'm going to show you that God speaks, and what I'm going to do is I'm going to use Psalm 95, even though it's hundreds of years old. I'm going to use that today to show you that God speaks to you. And you know what we're going to do today? We're going to take it today. We're going to take Psalm 95, and I'm going to show you that God still speaks to you today. He speaks to us through the Holy Scriptures. We've already seen this in the book of Hebrews that God has spoken. And when we say that Scripture speaks, we need to understand we're talking about all 66 books of the Bible. The 66 canonical books, both in the Old and the New Testament. The complete and finished revelation of God. If you look at Hebrews chapter 1, verses 1 and 2, if you remember back there, that's how this whole thing started. Hebrews 1, 1 and 2. God, after He spoke long ago to the fathers and the prophets in many portions in many ways. So how did God speak before? This is how He spoke. In through the prophets in many portions, many ways. But in these last days, He has spoke to us in His Son. So what do we see here? We see the progress of revelation. In fact, the Old Testament, it was a piece here and a part there, and it came in different times and epochs and seasons and prophets, and it came through dreams and shadows and various means, but it finds its culmination in the Lord Jesus Christ. So when we say that God speaks, we're not talking about laying still in our bed and listening for some sort of audible voice to come through and say, "Steve, this is what the Lord God says to you." Right? I don't need to do that. What we're talking about is that God takes the accomplished, full, complete revelation of His holy word, which is Christ-centered, both in the Old and the New Testaments. It's final and complete, and through that He continues to speak to us today. That's why the writer says, "Today, if you hear His voice, today, if you hear His voice," just as the Holy Spirit says. Hebrews 12:25 says this, "Do not refuse Him who is right now speaking." Hebrews 4:12 says what? "For the Word of God is living and active." How many books have you ever read that claim that for themselves? The Word of God is living and active and sharper than any two-edged sword. So when the writer of Hebrews says, when Scripture speaks, God is speaking, you know what he's doing? He means it. He's emphatic about it. He's trying to get the audience to understand this clearly. And so the question should be then, when is God speaking? Well, if you look back at verse 7, it tells us, it says, "Therefore, just as the Holy Spirit says," when? Today. Today. Right? Not Monday. Today. If you go to the pier, at least it was like this a long time ago, I saw a building at the pier in Baltimore, and it said, "Free crab tomorrow." They had painted on the building, "Free crab tomorrow." And I kind of laughed because I saw a father with younger children, and they were like, "Dad, we should come back tomorrow." And that's a little disheartening, right? Because we know that when you go back tomorrow, it's going to say what? "Free crab tomorrow." The sign doesn't change. And that can be disheartening. But there's something wonderfully heartening about today, because today is always today. And when the writer says, "Today, if you hear His voice," there's a sense of urgency to that. Today, if you hear His voice. I mean, if you have children and they want something, when do they want it, parents? Today. Grandparents, if they want something really, really bad, when do they want it? Today. I want it now. Right? But there is also this sense of this ever-relevant speaking of the Word of God. There's a sense of urgency to that, that God is speaking to us today. First, I want you to see the abiding relevance of God's Word. What does the Bible tell us about itself over and over again? 1 Peter 1:23 says this, "For you have been born again, not of seed which is perishable, but imperishable. That is, through the living and enduring Word of God. I shared with you Hebrews 4:12, "For the Word of God is living and active and sharper than any two-edged sword." Isaiah 48 says, "The grass withers, the flower fades, but the Word of God stands forever." Forever. I talk to people sometimes and they try to refute the Bible, and I ask them, "Have you ever read the Bible?" "No, I've never read the Bible." How can you try to refute something you've never read? It's the number one selling book of all time, and it's not even close. You may want to pick it up and give it a scan. The Word of God lasts forever. It endures forever. When you come to the Bible, you don't come to some sort of stale history book that only talks about times past. It talks to us about things that are going on today. And when we read the Bible, we don't need to come together and deconstruct all the cultural stuff and find out, you know, this, that, and the other thing, or try to tear apart what it says. The fact of the matter is, the Bible is like no other book in the entire world. The Bible is the inspired Word. It's inspired by the Holy Spirit. And because it's inspired by the Holy Spirit, it's a living book. It's a living book. It's a dynamic book. It's a book that speaks to us today. So when the Word of God speaks, it is the very voice of God. And when does God speak? He speaks to us when? Church? Today. But there's something else about today. There's this urgency to it. There's a sense of urgency. Make sure that you hear. When do you need to hear? You need to hear today. 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 Right now. The call to make sure that you hear God's voice speaking through the Word today is just like the offer of salvation given in 2 Corinthians 6:2. Paul says this, "Behold, now is the acceptable time. Behold, now is the day of salvation." There's something about that immediateness of today. You don't know if you're going to get tomorrow, right? We're human beings, we always like to procrastinate and to put things off. And I can say that guilty and put up my own hand. You know what? The best day to start a diet is tomorrow. How many of you ever heard of that? Diet starts tomorrow. All right, I'll move on. But there's something immediate about that. I mean, life is short. We don't know how many tomorrows we're going to get. Today is the day of salvation. Don't wait until tomorrow. You don't know if you're going to get a tomorrow. And you know, you go, "Oh, preacher, we've heard that said so many times." But we don't know. We don't. Not one of us. Life is short. Tomorrow's not guaranteed. Make sure you hear, not tomorrow, not next week, not next year, not young people when you're 18, not when you're old, whatever age old is. Old is, I guess, you know, Jack, don't raise your hand. You know, I don't want to say an age because I'm going to make somebody mad. If I say 50, then everybody that's, you know, 50 or older is going to be mad. Whatever that age is, make sure that you hear today. There's a sense of urgency about this. But notice what else the text says. It says, today, if you hear His voice. Do you notice what the writer's done here? He has personalized this. He says, you. Today, if you hear His voice. Not some sort of general statement. Notice it doesn't say, if He speaks. That's not what it says. What does it say? If you hear. Understand that the Father speaks through the Christ-centered Scriptures, through the Holy Spirit, and to those who have spiritual ears. To actually hear what is being said today means that you're hearing God and His Word with a disposition to obey what you have heard. That's what it means to hear God. Understand that. In the Old Testament, the notions of hearing God and obeying God are absolutely interchangeable with one another. Why? Because the assumption was that if you heard God, you what? Obeyed God. And to have obeyed God means that you what? You heard God. And they wouldn't have known that. There was no hearing of God without obeying of God. To rebel in such a way was unheard of. Today, if you hear His voice. Now I want to make sure, right, when we come together and we sit in the congregation and you guys are out there looking at me like, please be quicker today, right? We come together in the congregation to hear a message, and when we come together, we come and say, well, I want to make sure that the kids hear His voice. Or I want to make sure the unconverted hear the pastor's voice. And I want to make sure that the convicting parts, I want to make sure those convicting parts that my spouse hears His voice, right? Or better yet, you know, especially this, I know that my wife wants to make sure that I hear His voice. You know, if you've ever gotten one of those sharp elbows in a service before, because your wife or husband thinks, man, that point was for you, right? And we want to make sure that somebody else hears that voice, but the thing is, the focus here is that by the writer of Hebrews is, today, if you hear His voice. So if you're sitting by your spouse, spread out a little bit. Get out of elbow's reach. It's coming directly to you. So how do you respond? How do you respond? This is how we should respond. Lord, where You call, I will go. Lord, where You lead, I will follow. What You command, I will obey. What You tell me, I will believe. And that's what it means to hear the voice of God. And that's why Jesus says, My sheep hear My voice. And they follow Me. Jesus didn't say, and my sheep hear my voice and then walk off in whatever direction they feel like. Right? I've got 7 kids. I feel like a genuine shepherd sometimes. And when they hear my voice, my expectation is what? They're going to follow. They're going to move in that direction. I've never actually heard an audible voice of Jesus. I've had people ask that. Like, Pastor, have you ever heard the audible voice of God? I've never actually heard the audible voice of Jesus. But at 30 years old, man, that seems like a long time ago now, right? But at 30 years old, while sharing from scriptures with our church family in Columbus, Ohio, I was actually asked by the pastor to get up and speak at a VBS wrap-up service. And you're going, well, big deal. You know, it's a VBS service. We had like our regular church people, then like 100 families. So the place was packed. And I'd never really gotten up and been asked to do something like that before. And I've never heard audibly, but can I tell you, as I was sharing from the scriptures, that I could hear the voice of the Good Shepherd calling to me through His Word in a way where the Holy Spirit was doing something within me, where it was telling me that I needed to follow. And I told my wife the very next day, didn't I? And she said, no way. No, she didn't say that. She's like, you need to talk to pastor, right? And when I started talking to our pastor, and he's like, well, I've seen this in you, but I'm not the one to pass that on to you. The Lord needs to pass that on to you. And so I've never heard that audible voice, but I can tell you in sharing His Word, there was a definite call that came from that. And I thought about Romans 10:17, which says this, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the what? Word of Christ. And when Paul says the word of Christ, he does not mean the word about Christ. He means Christ's word as He speaks it. Do you get the difference in those things? It's important that we understand that. So how does faith come? Faith comes from effectively as the voice of God comes through the Scriptures and speaks to our hearts, awakening us to the reality of truth, changing us in a way as we are gripped and changed by the living and active Word of God that still speaks today. One of my favorite books is the book of Galatians. It was the first book, second book. I guess we can count Habakkuk. It was the second book that I preached through here at the church. And Galatians chapter 3, verse 1, Paul really kind of speaks in astonishment to the church there at Galatia. He says this. He says, you foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you, before whose eyes Jesus Christ was publicly portrayed or publicly placarded and as crucified? Now, here's what you need to know. How close was Galatia to Jerusalem? We're talking of hundreds of miles. There is probably, more than likely, nobody in the audience in that church at Galatia that actually witnessed the crucifixion of the Lord Jesus Christ. But you know what Paul's saying is? Paul's saying powerfully through the Word that you have seen Jesus Christ crucified. That is how powerful the Word of God is. And when we're reading the Word of God, that is what soaks into our heart. That is what grips us and changes us. And so what Paul means here when he says this, he's saying, before whose eyes Jesus Christ was publicly displayed as crucified, he means this, when the gospel goes forward, when the word goes forth, there's such an active speaking of the word of God through the Holy Spirit that Jesus is put on display as crucified as the object of faith for those who what? Hear. Paul says to the church in Ephesus, in chapter 4, he says, you did not learn Christ in this way, if indeed you have heard Him. You didn't learn Christ in this way, if you indeed have heard Him. And you know what he's saying? You know you've heard the Lord Jesus Christ before? Did you know that? When we're reading the Scriptures, we are hearing from the Lord Jesus Christ. So the question is, do you hear Him? The Bible tells us that there are those with spiritually dull ears. The Bible teaches us that there's those who have spiritually deaf ears. The Bible also tells us that there are those who have spiritually, what? Itching ears. That is the only thing they're really want to listen to is someone who's going to scratch their itch. And then there are those who also, though, the scriptures say have ears, spiritual ears to hear. That is why Jesus in Matthew 11 and Matthew 13 and other places says this, "He who has ears, let him hear." He who has ears, let him hear. God has spoken. What do we read in Revelation, in chapter 2 and chapter 3 in the book of Revelation, as we see the letters to the churches? You know how those letters to those seven churches end? You can look there later. It says, "He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches." The Word of God speaks to us. And my question today is, how is your hearing? And some of you are like, not good, Pastor, right? Some of you work around machinery or have your whole life. I'm not talking about your physical hearing. I'm talking about your spiritual hearing. How is your hearing today? The writer goes now from hearing God's voice in verse 7 to the actual command of Psalm 95. Look at verse 8. He says, "Today, if you hear His voice, do not," what? "Harden your hearts." Do not harden your hearts. The Bible speaks to us pervasively about the danger of a hardened heart. There is this hardened of heart that Jesus mentions for the reason that Moses issues the decree of divorce. There is Pharaoh, who we know whose heart was hardened. We know that Stephen, in his seeker-sensitive sermon given in Acts chapter 7, refers to those who are uncircumcised in heart, always resisting what the Holy Spirit says. Paul speaks in Romans chapter 2, verse 5. He says, "Because of your stubbornness and unrepentant heart, you are storing up wrath for yourself in the day of wrath and revelation of the righteous judgment of God." And when we read as the Apostle Paul was in Ephesus, that there were many that Luke writes that were hardening their hearts to the gospel. Yes, many were coming to know Jesus Christ, but there were many that were hardening their hearts and being disobedient to the word which was spoken. And a heart that is hardened is a heart that is resistant to truth. Do you realize that? When we harden our hearts, we're becoming more and more resistant to the truth of God's word. There's a danger in that. We talk about heart disease all the time, right? We talk about all the people that have physical heart disease and die of heart disease, and we understand it's a real thing and it's a real danger. But there is also this type of heart disease, and this is a heart disease that cannot be cured by diet and exercise. What is the result of a heart that continually tunes out, turns away, turns their back on the Word of God? A heart that delays in responding to the truth. And understand, when you hear His voice today and you say, "Tomorrow," right? "Tomorrow I'll reply," the heart grows harder. And every time you say "tomorrow," the heart grows harder again. And the person who ignores truth, the person who reshapes truth, the person who delays in responding to truth, they are hardening their hearts. And the Word of God says, do not harden your hearts. Once we disobey God's voice, does it get easier or does it get harder to continue to do it? It gets easier. Each and every time we disobey God's voice, it gets easier to repeat that disobedience. And so what do? We try to explain it away. We assign some sort of weak excuse to justify our disobedience. Or we maybe read the word and say, "Well, I'm not disobeying it because I really don't understand what it says, and I'll try to figure out later what the Word of God really says." We rationalize. But there's times our conscience will not leave us alone, will it? And you'll grow uneasy. And if no plausible excuse occurs, you'll seek a new one. And if one can't be really found, you'll invent one. This is a degenerative spiritual disease of the heart. And the writer is saying plainly, don't do it. Today, if you hear His voice, do not harden your heart. Don't take another step in that direction. When we are hardening our hearts towards God, we are literally stepping away from God and walking in a different direction. And I don't know about you, but it petrifies me to have a hardened heart. And you should be petrified today to have a hardened heart. You should read the story of Saul. You should hear and read and see as Paul goes to seek a word from the Lord and he can no longer hear the voice of God. That should scare you. That should scare me. I mean, we say all the time, God, I want to hear you. I want you to speak. Then the answer is, plainly, do not harden your hearts. What does it mean not to harden your heart? So what is, okay, if I'm telling you, do not harden your hearts, what does that mean not to harden your heart? Well, the answer is to respond by faith. Lord, I believe it. Lord, I receive it. Lord, I own it. It's mine. Whatever it costs, however it pierces, however it pinches, however bad it hurts, it's mine. I own it. It's from you. It's to help me no matter what the truth. And I respond by obedience and I pray, Lord, help me to obey your word. Help me to live it and love it in such a way that my heart runs toward the truth and not running away from the truth. And if you harden your heart today, you will have a harder heart tomorrow. That's the thing about it. It's a degenerative spiritual heart disease. And you know you can harden your heart and harden your heart over and over again till there comes a point when you know what God does? You know what He does? The Bible says that He will turn you over to what? A reprobate mind. He says, okay. You want to continue to harden your heart? You want to continue to not listen to my voice? And God says, look, I'm not going to make you. Right? Those are the things in the Bible that should terrify us. The hardening of the heart. The Word of God speaks today. Brothers and sisters, please hear me. The Word of God speaks today, and the Holy Spirit says to you today, do not harden your heart. Commit to Jesus Christ as your all in all. Believe what the Scriptures say about Him. Make Him your everything. Flee the things of this world. Run to the arms of your Savior. You cannot go by the cross of Calvary without making a decision. You can't do it. Once we know the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ, once we know that Jesus Christ came into this world, that God became flesh and came into this world and lived a sinless life and died for you and me on a cross at Calvary, we cannot walk by that cross anymore with indifference. We can't. We must not. Today, if you hear His voice, do not harden your hearts. Let's pray.